is Le'ili Nishmat as Rabban Mazal. But before I start the shir, I just want to share with you a new thought that I saw for the first time last night. So to me it was like an extra simcha. I saw something last night, and I thought it was very beautiful, the thought I saw. The parts of the tweak, it speak about karbonis, right? That's what you speak about karbonis, you know, the great mila of a karbon. But you know, it's interesting what we just spoke about. There's one thing which is even greater than a karbon. So there's a Gemara in Sukkah, that the Gemara says, Amar Reb Elazar, Godol ha'oisa tzedakah, giving tzedakah to another person, Yoisa is greater mikol ha'kabonah, smaller kabonah. Interesting. But the Gemara adds afterwards that the Gemara's chasadim is even greater than tzedakah. That's what the Gemara writes. But you see suddenly that tzedakah takes itself a new role that's greater than karbonis. Now, it's a little hard to sort of measure what does the karbon mean to us, what does tzedakah mean to us, and why does tzedakah become greater than every possible karbon? What does that mean? And it's interesting, the Gemara quotes the pasuk. It says the pasuk in Mishlei, Shanema, Asei tzedakah in Mishpat, if you do tzedakah and Mishpat, Nivchal Hashem Yizevach, it's more preferred to Hashem from a zebach. Zebach is a carbon. Okay. By the way, there's a beautiful, beautiful remez in the Sefer of the Al-Shech HaKadosh. Right? The Al-Shech, everybody's heard of him. Right? It's a beautiful remez. The pasuk in this week's parasha says, Al kol karboncha takriv melach. Right? Al kol karboncha takriv melach. There's a Gemara in Ksubot, that's some of all of the days. The Gemara says as follows, Melach momoin choso. Melach means salt. Salt means to preserve. If you want to preserve your money, chasa, give some away. If you give it away, Hashem guarantees you, you'll keep your money, right? That's what it says. If you want to preserve your money, make sure you give some of it away. So he says as follows. He says, al kol karboncha, on the item that's even greater than all the karbonos, which is what? Which is tzedakah, takriv melach. If you give some away, you'll preserve. Takriv, if you'll be makriv, if you'll give to others, melach, then you'll have the guarantee that it'll be preserved. On the item that's greater than tzedakah, takriv melach, that's what he writes. Okay, well, let me just tell you the thought that I wanted to get to. There's another pasuk in Yeshayah. The pasuk in Yeshayah says, Koyam Hashem, Shimri Mishpat, Vasi tzedakah, Ki kroiva yishiyotzi lovoi, V'tzitkosi lihigolish. Right? So firstly, that's a very important concept, because Chodesh Nisan is the month which is Chodesh Ashi Yishuot Bo Makifot, right? It's full of Yishuot. That's what happens in Nisan. That's like the Nisan Asidu Lihigael. That's the Nisan. So by the way, Nisan, that's why Nisan is the month that you have to give so much tzedakah, you know, Moed Chitin and so on and so forth, because that is what happens in this month. But take a look at this pasuk. It says in this pasuk, it says Shimri Mishpat Vasi Tzedakah. So firstly, suddenly Mishpat came before tzedakah. That's number one. In the other pasuk it says, Oysa tzedakah imishpat. Secondly, in the first pasuk it was tzedakah imishpat. Now suddenly there's two different things, right? It says, Oysa tzedakah, it suddenly says, Shimri mishpat vasi tzedakah. So what's going on over here? So, just wanted to share with you a fascinating thought. Everybody's familiar with the Ramami Pani, right? Wrote a paper of Sot, Eser Mamoros. It's one of the Sforim, that's one of the most difficult Sforim to read. So he writes a very interesting concept, and listen to this. It was the first time I've ever seen this concept, and I want to share the concept and tell you the explanation he writes. He says that the word tzedakah in Atbash, right? You're familiar with Atbash. Atbash is the Allah Hissah, say the sin. The word tzedakah in Atbash is tzedakah. There's no concept he writes. What is the, he says very simple. I mean, it's very simple. You see that because the in Atbash, so the tzaddik is the kuf and the hay is the tzaddik. So this goes both ways, basically. So he says, wow, it's a wonderful remez that the zakat in Atbash also works backwards. What does it mean? Why does the zakat? So now suddenly you realize that zakat can be read forward and backwards. And besides, he says, very often you have things you read forward, very often you have things you read backwards, and very often you have things you read in both directions. What does it mean? He says as follows. He quotes the Ramami Pani, quotes the Zohar. The Zohar explains it. He says as follows. He says, anything that's in the Torah, that's kisidron, that's straight, that he says is or yashar. That's the straight life. It's the direct result of what you're doing. You see it happening. Right? That's the obvious result. Anything which works as tashrak, which, you know, you see very often the gematria or Rosh HaTevis that are working in the Aleph Beis backwards. So tashrak is or chozer. Or chozer means what the great light that comes back because of the great action that you've done. So there's the action you do, that's straight, and there's the action that comes in return.
What do you mean it comes back?
You do an action, right?
One of the you said.
One is the direct is your action. Or you said you see what you do.
What's happening, what's going on.
Right? Or chozer is Hashem takes a look back at what you did, and there's a reciprocation in the world because of what you've done. Right? Remember this two angles. So zakah is so great that at the same time as you see the action you're doing, Hashem is showing the result, right? But not to get read both ways. It comes right back at you at the same time. So it's the atzash and the tashrak. It's forward and backwards all at the same time. But listen, we're going to continue here. Yeah, I'm telling you, stuff last night, it just blew me away. It was such a... I'm so excited when I see something, you know, new that's like so impressive. Listen to these words. There's a beautiful sefer. The name of the sefer is Avodas Yisroel. The Avodas Yisroel was written by the Magid of Kozhnitz. It's a very classic sefer, written about 200 years ago. In the back of the sefer, he has Likutim. He just writes something there which is just really mind-boggling. And he really takes this thought apart, and he takes it to a new level. Why are we here in this world? What's our purpose of every mitzvah that we do in this world? That it should be the Shrabi Kvot Shemayim. That the Kvot Shemayim should come down in this world. That's why we're here. Not every action that we do we see it directly, but that's the true purpose why we're here. He says, what's the purpose of a malach? The malach is here to give to the world the Kavod of Hashem. Right? Let's analyze the malach. It said, we know the famous Gemara in Chagiga is the famous question. If you take a look at the Pesukim in Yeshaya, what does it say? It says that the Malachim have Shesh Kenafayim, six wings. If you take a look at the Pesukim in Yecheskel, what it says, they fly with two and they have two, they cover them, their feet, so they have only four wings. So the Gemara asks, how come is it that originally they had six and then they only had four? The Gemara says, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they had six, and now they only have four. Why then do they have six? Why then do they have four? What is the four wings of the Malachim mean? And what is the six wings of the Malachim mean? Listen to this concept. I'll tell you first the account which was written in the Gro, by the Vilna Gaon. He says as follows. He says, what are the six Knafayim? The six Knafayim are six abilities for the Malach to spread Kvod Shemayim in the world. What are the six Knafayim? The Zohar Kodesh tells us, Boruch, Shein, Kevoy, Malchusay, Le'olam, Vod. Those are the six. But when we're in Golis, they don't have the ability to appropriately spread the Kevoy, Malchusay of Hashem in this world. So what happens? They're reduced. So what are they missing? Kevod and Malchusay. Those two suddenly are out the window. So suddenly the Malachim only have four of those words. They're missing Kvod Malchusay. The Gaon Mivilna says, that's why we daven, in Rosh Chodesh, when we daven that the Beit HaMikdash should be built, what do we say? Galei Kvod Malchusay. Because we're trying to tell the Malachim to bring back those two extra abilities of Kvod Shemayim, bring that bad into this world. I once saw a beautiful thought that on Purim, what do we say on Purim? It says, Ahasuerus tried to reduce the morale of the Jews. And what did he do? He says, let me bring out the Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash, right? So what does the Pasuk say? Bahar Os. Kevod Ashrov, the eighth. Kevod Malchusay. He brought out Kevod Malchusay. He says, Kevod Malchusay is by me. You Jews don't have it anymore. Yeah, Kevod Malchusay, you Jews don't have it anymore. Now listen to this. Let's talk that first. When you have Boruch Shein Kevod Malchusay, the Oyun Boy, the Avodah Shishrov, right, are the six. Only six letters in the Aleph Beis that can go before Yudkei Vavkei. Bahashem, Shehashem, right? Kehashem, right? Chav, Kehashem, Mei Hashem, right? La Hashem, Ve Hashem. So those six, Baruch Shem, Kevoy, Malchus, and the Oyim and Boaz, have the ability to push Hashem, the Kavod of Hashem, into the world. Right? Oh, you come in. They can push the Kavod of Hashem into the world. The Rosh Hashanah of Baruch Shem, Kevoy, Malchus, and the Oyim and Boaz is, take two, one of each, one of each. Bishloy Mecha. Why Bishloy Mecha? Because it's Shleimut. It's the full name of Hashem that they have the ability to spread into the world. But what happens when you take out Kivoid and Malchusoy from the picture? What are you left with? Beis Shin Lamed Vav, which is Bishaloi. Now the name of Hashem is not being spread into the world anymore. Where is Hashem's name being spread? Just up in Shemayim, Bishaloi. So it goes from all of those that Malachim that spread Hashem's name in Galut only have the ability to leave it up there by Hashem. So now let's take a look and do some application to Tzedakah, what Tzedakah is all about. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that if a person kohamalim einot na'at Tzedakah, a person doesn't give Tzedakah appropriately, like he does Avodah Zarah. Why? What's the reason? So the Arachayim HaKadosh writes that a person needs to believe that et ha'oni imach, all the money that a man has in this world, is Hashem lent to you the money of the poor man. You're just a banker. You have to distribute it and you have to give it out to the others because they're not meant to stay by you. When a person doesn't believe in tzedakah, so what's happening is that it's the greatest kefirah because he doesn't believe that the money came from Hashem. The Mishnah tells us in Avot. What does the Mishnah say? Ten loy, give back to Hashem. Mishaloy, she'ata v'sheloy shelachu. Everything came from Hashem. Yours and his all came from Hashem in the first place. And now, if a person wants that this should truthfully be nitzrava the kvod of Hashem in this world, what's the only thing that a person can do that he actually shows to everybody that everything in this world is dictated and comes from Hashem, and is to give tzedakah. When you give tzedakah, it's not just a great act of the chesed you did for the other person, but you're showing kvod shemayim in this world. You're showing to everybody in this world, you should know that whatever I have, Hashem said you can have it in order to give it to the other person. You're not believing that you earned the money on your own. You're believing it all came from Hashem. So look at the greatness of tzedakah and look why it's greater than a carbon. When you bring a carbon, yes, you bring Kvod Shemayim into the world, but the Kvod Shemayim is an atonement for your personal sin. That's what it really is. But when you give tzedakah, what you're showing is not only I want to do the mitzvah, which is the Ur Yosha, that's a direct cause, but it's right away Ur Chozer, because the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus of the Olam Vod, that none of the Malachim can give to the world anymore, because we're in Galut, you give tzedakah, you actually do that. Right? And that's greater than the Kabbalah. The Beis Hamikdash is Chorus. No Beis Hamikdash. We can't. There's no Kvod Shemayim in the world. You give tzedakah, you show to the world that there is Kvod Shemayim in the world. So whatever's lacking, you still have the ability to do. But I just thought the other those Ramadan there with the Baruch Shankar and Hitzlaim and Bod, Mishloy Mecha, Bishaloi, and the Atbash, and how it goes both ways. I never saw that concept of Mamet Pani writes that you can read tzedakah both ways. You end up with the same word. I mean, it all goes very well with even Aspunta, whatever you give, you know. It just comes to my mind right now that as we're discussing this, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Tzadik Hashem, Tzedakot Ahav. Hashem is a Tzadik, right? He loves Tzedakah. Just hit me. You know how the pasuk concludes? Yosha Yechesu Panemai. You can directly see the Panem of Hashem. Look how well that ties into this. There happens to be, there's a beautiful Shloha Kaddish. One of the subjects, the beautiful Shloha Kaddish. The Shloha says that when you give tzedakah, you're creating the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what he writes. The Shloha says every time a man gives tzedakah, he's writing the name of Hashem. How is that? He says as follows. He says that you go and remind us of what the Shloha said. Yeah, he says as follows. He says you take the coin is a yud, a circle. The coin is a yud. Yud is yud basically, it's kutishon yud. It's the smallest circle of a yud. Take the coin, with your five fingers. That's a hey. You stretch out your hand. That's a vav. And the only accepted with his five fingers, that's a hey. The Shlomo writes surprising words. The Shlomo writes that when a man comes to you in the morning in the Bet Midrash for Tzedakah, don't wait for him to stick his hand out to you. You prepare the money first and have your hand out, because if not, you're switching around your mehapech, the name of Hashem. That's the Shlomo writes. The Shlomo writes, give him the money directly. And the Shlomo adds that that's the pshat in Rashi, but nobody knows the pshat in Rashi, in Pasuk Tumah. Rashi says, v'yichili l'shmi. So what's the l'shmi? Hashem is saying, do it properly so that my name will be spelled properly.
Wow.
That's what the Shlomo writes. V'yichili. Then says the Rashi, l'shmi. What's the l'shmi? L'shmi, don't mess up my name. Give tzedakah, give it correctly, don't mess up my name. And on top of that, is gemilat chesed. Think about what was on here tonight. On top of all of that is gemilat chesed, because the greatest way you can do for a person is to make the person feel good. That's even greater than everything that you can actually do. So just a thought, especially going into Rosh Chodesh Nisan, just tonight is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? Hachodesh she is by Makifa. It's just a beautiful thought. Okay, there's many, many things we've got to speak about. Let's go through some of the subjects. You know what? Let's first talk about let's talk about malpractice. And we'll talk about this subject first. If we have time, we'll go back into last week's share. Let's see how much we can do, bro. Listen to this question. I come to you, and you're my financial advisor, right? Or you're my tax advisor, my attorney. And I walk into you and I say, so what do I do with this issue? And he gives me advice, do so-and-so. And what happens? I do so-and-so. And what happens afterwards? Bad advice. They lose a lot of money. I'm having many dinsaras now with the stockbrokers who gave bad advice to their investors and have lost big money. You're talking about tzedakah. I don't know. I don't know how any yeshiva was in any deficit after the amount of money that was lost. I mean, we can't even imagine what was lost. You hear? So, do you have a claim afterwards on your broker for giving you bad advice? Did he set you up in an investment that was not an appropriate investment for you to set you up in?
Did he tell you in advance and you did it anyway?
I want to talk about the financial advisor, I want to talk about the broker, I want to talk about the tax advisor, I want to talk about the attorney, I want to talk about all the guys.
Wait, there's a difference between advice and a doctor doing something malpractice.
Okay, right.
They have a difference on that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think everybody knows that with advice,
mm-hmm.
He's more professional than I am, but it's not
Fine. So you're talking about a stockbroker. I'm talking about when he did something.
Everybody knows that if he's going to be right all the time, everybody would be.
Everybody right. Everybody would be billionaires. Exactly. Right. But I'm going to say something else. There are times that he does something with your investment that afterwards, when it comes to recover your money, he puts you at a greater risk. Example, you tell him to invest in a certain stock. He invests in that stock. But he formed his own company to invest sort of through a pass-through. He did it as a loan or as a repo. You know, I don't want to go into all these different details. And then there's a bankruptcy. And then you're not in the right position to be able to pull your money out because you're not privy to certain information. You can't block the bankruptcy. Very often there are certain things that can go wrong that he can really, really put you at risk. Okay, well, it's kind of a better case. An attorney.
They'll
follow your instructions. But an attorney. You went and you asked an attorney, what's the law? And he made a mistake. And then you went and did an investment. You lost a ton of money. The attorney has to pay all that money?
An attorney?
Yeah.
Different case in
a financial investment. I'm talking about all the guys.
I had a case with me.
Yeah.
With my lawyer. Mm-hmm. My lawyer. We negotiated a deal.
Mm-hmm.
He came back, mm-hmm. And 30 days later, the firm made a deal, called me up to the deal door. So I called my lawyer and said, what happened? So when he got back, he turned it over to one of his underlings.
Right.
And the underling never sent back the papers. I lost the deal. Because he didn't...
They didn't follow up properly, right? You paid him and didn't follow up properly. So, again, all these questions are very prevalent questions. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to be able to answer every single question. I just want to go through the Gemara, go through the Halakha, set down the rules. You guys will figure it out on your own afterwards. You understand? I'll just throw out one more classic question. I get this question every so often. There's a guy in business. He sells. He has many vendors that he sells to. And what happens is that he sells to a certain vendor. Well, the classic question you ask people in the industry is, does this guy have good credit? Does he pay his bills? I don't have to tell you guys what happens when you sell to a person that does not have good credit, does not pay his bills. You say, him? Yeah, sure. He's a wealthy guy, pays his bills on time, excellent credit.
You
ship him $100,000 worth of goods, and then what happens? Doesn't pay. Then you find out that he pays nobody. So you go back to your friend and you say, why don't you tell me? Is your friend obligated to reimburse you $100,000 for giving you the bad information? You understand? So you could have checked
it out.
What? I did. I checked it out through you, and you told me this bad information. But the real question that we need to discuss is, you got to pay for bad advice. Okay, you got to pay for giving bad advice. Very different than what we discussed last week with the Shomer Shachar, with when I'm given an animal, I'm given a fixture, and I'm in the middle of working on the fixture, and something goes wrong, there, hey, you can say to me, look, you're working on the fixture, something went wrong, so you understand what's happening, but I'm coming from a totally different angle over here, right? You understand? This is the angle that I'm coming from. Okay, so now, let's take a look at the Gemara that addresses this specific question, and by the way, just, Mr. Ashkenazi, just to address your point, malpractice insurance today is something which is very different by a doctor or anybody else, because when a person has insurance, so you can always say that since I went to a person that had insurance, it's like a p'nai, that if something goes wrong, I'm allowed to collect from his insurance. So you could argue that even if something goes according to the halakha, you're not entitled to get reimbursement, you can argue this, but since I went, the person falls on your property, right? And he sues you afterwards. But according to the halakha, he's not entitled to get reimbursed. Right? So if I want to tell you something, is it sad to say that the person can sue you? Why? Because when you live in America and you take insurance, you drive a car, so it's on the condition that you're going to accept whatever the insurance laws are. Okay? But I want to tell you something else. If your premiums go up because of it, and you're not in Afi Halakha, the person's not entitled to do it, they need to reimburse you for the premium. I mean, I just want to, you know, I want to go in that direction. How can you go wrong? You need something extra. How can you go wrong with this advice? This advice is... Huh? Yeah, this is foolproof advice to go down with it. Okay. So take a look what the Gemara tells us. It's on Tzadik Tes Amud Beis. You see the Gemara, the first page? Itmar. You see where the wide lines are? Two lines above the wide lines. Itmar we learn. Hamara dina l'shulchani. A man goes and he gives his... He takes a coin and he shows this to the banker. And he says to him, is this coin a good coin or is this coin a bad coin? You see it? On the bottom, two lines above the wide line. Hamara dina l'shulchani. You show your coin to the banker and you say to him, is it good or bad? He says it's good. You accept the coin. Now the nimsara turns out it's bad. So let me give the classic example. A man owes me $1,000 because I sold him merchandise. He comes in and gives me a coin. He says, here's your payment for the $1,000. I don't know if the coin is good or not. So I go to the banker. I quickly say, by the way, Mr. Banker, is it good? Yes, good. So I go back into my store. I say, okay, you got a deal. I accept payment. And I sign a note that says paid. So now because the chenveni gave me advice that the coin is good, I just lost $1,000 because I wrote paid. I won't be able to get my money anymore. Right? Of course, it's talking about that the guy either left to Medina Hayam or the man is a very tough person, because if he'll reimburse me now, if I can show now that the coin is no good, so technically speaking, I should be able to get reimbursement immediately. That's fine. That's what he says. The Gemara says, Tanachaza, we learned in one place, Uman, if the chenveni is an expert, he knows what he's talking about, Patur. Hedyet, but if he doesn't know what he's talking about, Hayat, which means if you're an expert can give advice, if he made a mistake, he's Patur. But a non-expert has no right to give advice, so it's chayav. That's what we learned in one place. The time you enough, we learned in another place. Bein uman, bein hedyet, chayav. Everyone has to pay. Om Rav Papa, so Rav Papa makes the following distinction. Ki Tanya Uman Pata, who says, when we learn that the Uman is Pata, Ki Goyim, for example, Danki the Issa. Who is Danki and who is Issa? Danki and Issa were the greatest experts in coinage in their time. So if a man is this super expert, he's always Patur. Please, if you always know what you're talking about, so then you never pay, even if you give bad advice. If you always know what you're talking about, then you're patur. If you don't always know what you're talking about,
does it sound right?
What sounds wrong?
You're a super expert.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you made a mistake.
Right.
So wait.
But let's first take it from another angle. If you're a super expert, how'd you make a mistake? You know everything. If you know it all, so how'd you make a mistake? So the Gemara says, very good. If that's the case. And I was going, Danki, so Issa, these experts, the way Tzichel and Mikma Klal, they don't got to learn at all. So the Gemara says, El Bamai Toy, so what's the mistake? Yeah, come. Take the. Take the Mikma Klal first. We're talking about if you give a person bad advice in business, if you have to reimburse them afterwards for your bad advice. Okay? Anybody, tax expert, an attorney, whoever it may be. Saudi test on the right, the sugya hamara didn't do a shulchan. Okay, all the way at the bottom, two lines from the wide lines on the bottom. So he said, if that's the case, el b'may toy. So what's your mistake? So the answer is toy. The mistake was the sichta chadasa. Oh, there's a new coin, a new face just came out of the coin. Daisha, it just came out. The nothing mitzvah sichta. So the kings had this thing that every so often they would like the faces of their families over the faces of the other families. So they would suddenly one day say, okay, whoever has a coin that has the face of the old king, it's done. I'm the new man, it's my face now. So this coin just came out, he made a mistake. Right? So Simon's looking at me and Simon's saying, you're not an expert regarding the new coin, right? I guess commerce must go on. I guess you had to answer, but I guess you're the most qualified person to give this answer. So you have to say.
But you're not an expert then.
But there's no greater record than
you. If you're in business, then you have to be up to date with everything that's going on.
Did you get faces to fight anyway? Does it matter?
Well, so it says, no. See, that's where these disagreements in the Rishayim. Some Rishayim say that once you're a super expert, you always tattoo regardless of getting paid or not. The Mechaber is going to disagree. The Mechaber is going to say that if you're getting paid, then you always have to be chayav. But we'll see. Let's read the Mechaber. Give us a few moments and we'll see the Mechaber. Now, I just want to throw something very, very, very important into the sugi here. And that Tosfot points out right away. Tosfot says, he says, whoa, didn't we learn in the last sugi at your point? It depends if you're b'schar or b'chinam. So Tosfot says a very important point. So look right on the right side, the bottom Tosfot. V'shaya chocha v'shnu yikam b'schar kam b'chinam, like in the last sugi. Ki d'mishan yigab b'shchita. D'v'hakoros matbei yitzricha b'ki yizgodol. In order to be able to recognize coinage, you got to be a tremendous expert. The left plane lamichsi in Ein Boki Kitanki Yissi. If you're not a real expert, don't give advice. But if you're in other areas where everybody's an expert, then already you're entitled to say advice. Now, I want to just backtrack a second here. It's very important for us to pick up this distinction immediately. There are certain industries that if you really don't know the industry, don't say any advice. Okay? There are many industries that you are allowed to say advice. So let's say, I'll give you a classic example. You know, I was learning this week with my chavrusa, the judge. He said he thinks he might know of an example. You're an attorney, you give advice, right? But you're a corporate attorney, and you're giving attorney about real estate. It's a big deal. How many attorneys have, you know, storefronts on Coney Island Avenue, and they just, whatever you come to ask them, they'll research the subject. But he was saying to me, for example, bankruptcy is something which is very complicated. Bankruptcy, you have to have a lot of history of understanding. You can't just look at the bottom line of bankruptcy. You need to understand the history in order to be able to answer a bankruptcy question. So if an area is specialized, you have no right to give an answer. So there you definitely have to pay. A non-specialized area, I mean, everybody's the expert. So it's important for us to pick up that distinction immediately. Alright? Now, the bottom line, where are we going so far? What we're saying so far is that if you're getting paid, so then you should always be very careful, because getting paid you can be like a Shema Socha. That was the last topic. If you're not getting paid, so it depends. If you're an expert, you're patur. If you're not an expert, you have no right to say anything, and you're chayav. Right? That's pretty much what we're ending up with. Now, the obvious question, which everybody I'm sure is thinking, and that is, if I approach you and I ask for your advice, so I'm approaching you, I'm here to this message, and I have nothing to do, you know, after davening, and I have five guys in the jewelry business, so I ask each one of them their opinion. So does that mean that I'm taking their opinion so seriously that I can go afterwards and ask them for money because they gave me bad advice? What creates suddenly, that's question number one. Who says I'm really listening to your advice? Maybe I'm just going around, okay, when I go and I hire somebody and I'm paying him for fun. But if I'm not hiring someone and paying him, even if I'm hiring somebody and paying him, but I went to five different people, I don't know, we gotta go to each one of these cases. Let's go to the next case. If I just approach you, so who says I'm listening to you? That's the first question. And even if I'm listening to you, who says you shouldn't listen to me? Right? Well, let's go through that. So the Gemara now says the following story. And the Gemara says as follows. Now let's go to a bit further in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, Hahi Itzah, there was a certain woman, the dinra, she showed a dinra, l'rabchiyah to Rabchiyah. Amalah, she said to Rabchiyah, Ma'al Yehu. So Rabchiyah answers to this woman, it's perfect. I remember Rabchiyah was a big expert in coins. L'mocha Atzoy, the next day she showed up by Rabchiyah, also l'kameh, v'amalei, achaziti, I tried to show this to my banker, I put it into my account, Vamili, my banker says, see, Shini, it's a bad coin. But like enough, I couldn't get rid of this coin. But he turns to Rabchiyah and he says, you gave me advice to accept the payment. And what suddenly happened? I couldn't use it. So what do I do? All the way to Rav, so Rabchiyah told his, what's called, like you said before, Mr. Ashkenazi, his underlink was Rav, was right there. And he said to him, Zil Cholfeinile, go exchange the coin for this woman, go pay her, and take the money out of my account. The cost of Apink Kosti, right on my cheshbon, right on my account, Dane Asik Bish, this was a bad deal that I made. So, hey, what happened over here? Why is Rabchiyah paying? Rabchiyah was that master expert that he didn't have to learn. So the Gemara had, right? Shurim Pasur. He might say, Dankin Yisra de Pasir, Hakim Dankin Yisra Pasur, Yisra de Pasir, Yisra de Pasir, Lav Lamigma Kaboya. Come and learn with us, huh? That's it. Give him some licorice. So the Pchiya Nami Lav Lamigma Kaboy, Pchiya also did not have to learn. So the Gemara says, Pchiya Lefnim Mishir Tazin Bu De Ovid. The Pchiya did what? Lefnim Mishura Tazin. It's only Rabbi Yosef, like the Beis says, right? You turn over the page, and we know that the concept of Lefnim Meshura Tadin. Okay, let's read the story.
This coin that she brought was an extremely good coin from Rabbi Chiyah.
It has to be also, it's a new coinage because he was an expert and Lechichel Enigmas. He couldn't have made a regular typical mistake. It's impossible. Like the Gemara said on the previous case with Donkey and Inter. I agree with you. It has to be that it was some special case. And he had no choice, and nobody could have done better than he did. Right?
Or could it be that it was a good coin, mm-hmm. but the person that she gave it to as payment didn't want to accept that type of coin?
Well, obviously it wasn't going. She went out there. Because he wasn't clearly. The Gemara asked the question that Rabchiyah should be compared to Donkey and Issah. So you see that the Gemara accepted that Rabchiyah was that unique expert. That's what the Gemara tells us. But just to answer your question, it seems like she went into the marketplace and she couldn't get rid of it. So she said, the bottom line is, it doesn't make a difference to me that your expert opinion is that it's good. But the bottom line is, I cannot use it. Okay. Now let's read one more story, and after we read one more story, we'll be able to figure out the halacha. Now go three lines in. And there's one question which Rebez, I was waiting for you to ask.
Why don't you know what my right now?
Which one? But the Gemara already seems to have answered that question. The Gemara says that if you're a super expert, you're always patur. The problem is.
What I mean? According to the first
bride, according to the first bride. The problem is, and I hear where you're going, that if you read it, there's four possibilities what the answer should be for the two bride status, right? And the problem is that all the Rishonim have tremendous disagreement on those other two ambiguous points that the Gemara does not tell us. But it's too lengthy for us to go through right now, and I understand exactly where you're going with that. So now, the Gemara now tells us one more story. But Ezra, I want to ask you one question, which you should have asked me. I gave you bad advice, right? And it was clearly bad advice. And I made a mistake. So why is that bad? What did I do? Let's call it, you know, classic Nisi Kin language. Huh? Grammar. Grammar Satur. So what's the problem? Grumbin is on his purpose. Think about that angle, we didn't think about yet. I went and I damaged you. So what? So what? So I told you bad advice and you were damaged because of me. So Grumbin is on his purpose. So you're going to have to learn with Garmi, by the way. Garmi. There's a level that's in between Grumma and Mazik, and that's Garmi. This is the classic case of Garmi. Okay. So now the Gemara says as follows, the next story. So the Shlokesh actually dinner. The Shlokesh showed a dinner with Rebbe Loza. He showed Rebbe Loza a dinner. Omai said, Ma'al Yehu, it's good. Okay, so what does Rebbe Loza say to the Shlokesh? Your coin is wonderful. Now the Shlokesh says something very, very sharp, and he says, by the way, Rebbe Loza is not an expert. Right? Rebbe Loza is not an expert. So the Gemara says, Amalei, Chazi, I just want you to know that Allah Kusamichna, I'm being Someich on you. I'm taking your opinion very seriously, and because of you, I'm accepting the coin. So he starts to think, and he says, well, one second. What are you trying to say with that? Oh, you're trying to say, if it turns out that it's a bad coin, I'm responsible. That's what you mean to say, right? So he says to him, but what are you talking about? I didn't do anything to you. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not a coin from a maid that goes with Dina the Gami. So now let's go through all the possibilities of what every one of us should think about when any type of question of this sort comes. What's question number one? Were you an expert? Did you have a right to give that advice or not? Question number two? Were you paid? Right? So if you paid, so you go back into the sugya of last week of what? Establish shakilto, which should really be higher. If you didn't pay, so it depends. If you're an expert, patur. Depends on what type of field. You have a right to be an expert, not to be an expert. If you're not an expert, you have an obligation. However, what does it have to be? Chazid aloch kusamichna. That it has to show, it has to be, that you got to tell the guy that my intentions were to be sameich on you. Comes along the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, and he says, well, one second, he says, you don't always have to say chazid aloch kusamichna. It has to be that it's dvorim amarim that it's chazid aloch kusamichna, which means the situation shows that your intention was to be someich on the other person. That's what he said. And it's interesting, that case, the shach has a very interesting, you know, we don't have time to go through it now, but if you'll take a look, page number 6, then comes page number, you see there's 2 pages of Shulchan Aruch. He says it follows in Sivov. First he says, Hamara dinu l'shulchani, in Sivov. Va'omala yofahu, v'nim tera, in the schara oi chai v'shalem, right? If you got paid, you pay. Afu shuboki. In a circle of Islam. In Bechinam, if it's Bechinam, that depends. If you're an expert, you're Patur. Then he says, Vahu Shayoyma. Look at the Mechaber. Vahu Shayoyma, the Shulchani, Alecha Anis Sameh. It has to be that you tell him, I'm being Sameh on you. Oi?
So your accountant files your tax returns and he makes a mistake on the return.
Right.
And you get a penalty.
Right.
And a fine and all kinds of stuff. He's responsible for that?
Look at the Mechaber's next line. Oi Shayad Vorim Marim Shu Sameh. If it shows, if it's obvious from the situation that you're someich on him, then he has to pay.
So you can't have someone that clearly you're showing that you're following him.
Without saying it.
Yes. The problem is that when it comes bottom line in Dina Mondman's case, there are too many opinions here that disagree with the Mechaber. The Rama right away says that the Rama agrees with it, but then you have on the next page, which we're not going to have a chance to do, but there's a long shark. It goes pretty much the whole page, the shach. And the shach wants to say that there's a tremendous difference. The difference if you had to do something to accept for payment, so it shows, that's the, in other words, somebody wanted to pay you money and he's leaving, and if you don't accept the payment, you lose the payment. So then that's Dvor Marim. But the shach wants to say that if it's just something that you had the option to do, to go into a deal, then it's not so simple. But I would agree with you. According to the Mechaber, clearly, your accountant makes a mistake, and you end up paying more money before it, this chazit, then the boy is too. I tell you, it's counting them.
Higher.
Huh? And they're higher, and they pay.
And
right, the case is, no, I end up saying more, because when it's the tzchar, except the Asam Mishayim that say that if it's an woman that can't learn anymore because he knows everything, so then even the tzchar is pasur. This is the Chodesh Mishayim on that. Because remember I told you there's a different option from the Braisa.
Now, unless you want to say that an accountant is different because it's like the new coin that's just printed, because there's all kinds of new laws that are passed on the year.
Yeah, but he should be reading up on the latest laws. Again, you have to see each case differently, but I'm just sort of laying out, look, I agree with you, your assessment's pretty good. However, there's a shach at the end, writes one important point. He says if the damage is reversible, which means I can go to the IRS and say, look, it was a mistake, we filed an error, and you can get back the money. Then you can say to the accountant, you have an obligation to pay me, but rather the obligation is to go and reverse the damage. Or the case in our Gemara, the Shach says, let's say the guy who gave me the coin is around, and it turns out now I tried to give it to somebody else and I can't use it. So the true obligation would be for me to go to this person and try to reverse the deal. Okay? But now I want to throw at you guys an absolutely fascinating question, and now you'll give yourself a test if your mind is really working at 100%. Let's listen to this question. I'm going to throw it at every one of you. You know, listen, say the truth. It's not my question. It's Dictatus. This is Dictatus' question. The question goes as follows. Let's say I went and I gave you bad advice and you took the coin. So, and let's say I'm getting paid, or let's say I have no right to give the advice. So what's the halakha? We said clearly, I need to reimburse you for that coin. Right? We all agree on that. What's the bad advice that I gave you? The bad advice I gave you was what? What did I tell you? I told you to accept the coin. What was wrong with the coin? The Gemara says it has the wrong picture on it. Right? That's what the Gemara says.
Not redeemable.
What's that?
Not redeemable.
Why is it not redeemable? Because the coin, the face is incorrect. Sichta chazda. Sichta means the face, that's what the Gemara says. You got to go to the bank and get a new face on your coin. Okay? Fine. What is your question? You have a coin. It's a perfect coin. You come into my house, I take your coin, I take my sledgehammer, and I smother your coin, I make there should be no face on your coin anymore. But there's nothing missing from your coin. It's the same coin like it was till now in weight and silver, but there's just no face. Can you use that coin? No. How do you use that coin? You gotta go back to the bank, you have to restand your coin. What is this really called? Like Chazal tell us, Hashaf matbeya shachaveru. You smooth out the matbeya of your friend. You know what the halakha is? Do I have to tell you? No. The Gemara says you're patur. Why are you patur? Because I didn't damage you. I was not machas to you midi. You have the same weight in silver. Oh, what's your tainami? You angered me. Why? Because you can't use it. So I say to you, I didn't damage you. You could use it, I tell you. Just go to the bank and get a new face on your coin. Oh, there's a ticha. What's a ticha? I'm just a grumman is up in patur. That's what the Gemara tells. So the Tzais asks one of the most brilliant questions. Listen to this question. He says, if I go and I take your coin and I erase the face of your coin, and you gotta go to the bank and get a new face, I don't have to pay. Because I didn't take anything away from you, and the fact that you have a ticha, like you said, to go to the bank to replace it. Huh? So if I gave you advice, what did I said to you advice, take the coin, that the coin has the wrong face. So I said, I didn't answer you. Go to the bank and get it resent.
Not resent. You can't have it resent.
Same thing. What happens if I still have the
face?
If the coin lost its face, you go to the bank and they resent it. You ever been to the mint in Philadelphia? You can see they do it. Exactly as Rashi describes in by Shaf Mazdei, they take a hammer and they stamp it to one side. In the mint, you see the exact same thing all over again. So do the same thing. No? It's just a question like unbelievable.
It's like giving a counterfeit bill and
blank
stuff.
Counterfeit. It's
counterfeit.
It's good, it just has the wrong face, you gotta go to the bank. Nice part. The Marduchot was one of the Rishonim, asked this question, and the Marduchot says it can't be the Gemara meant Sichta Chazata literally, It has to be as meant that there's something wrong with the coin and let it be able to be used again. That's what the Muslim says. But the Tzaddik says, I don't want to accept that because it's not what the Gemara says.
Yeah, but I really don't want to accept your question because if it's so simple just to take it and get back the original value,
right?
Then of course, what's the problem?
Yeah, that's the Tzaddik's question.
Yeah.
The Tzaddik is saying that Shasma Beisha. No, the real question is who should go to the bank to get the coin re-stamped? Should I spend half a day walking across the town to go to the bank and wait in line to get a re-stamped? What should you do? That's really what the question is. What do you think they did when they changed the coin? They didn't throw the coins in the garbage. They had to take all the coins and go to the bank and get them re-stamped. That's what they had to do. So the Tzaddik says beautiful terrace. Listen to the terrace. You'll see the clarity that the Tzaddik thought with. It's just a phenomenal clarity how the Tzaddik thought. The Tzaddik says it's fine. Just listen very well. What happened? I took your coin. I smashed the... I went and I took off the face. I didn't damage you. I just created the Yishev Tircha, right? That we all understand. Let's talk about allocation. Somebody owed you $1,000. Came to you with $1,000 bill. And I said to you, it's good. So what did you do? You wrote, paid. So I told you to give away, to forgive, $1,000 loan when I told you it's good. So what's the damage that I caused to you? What's the damage I caused to you? The damage I caused to you was not that I made a mistake on the coin. The damage that caused to you was that when you wrote paid, because of my say-so, you just lost $1,000. So what's my damage? My damage is, I damaged you $1,000 if you did a mechila on a choy, and that's the $1,000 damage. Now, after I was mounting you $1,000, I owe you $1,000. So what do I say to you now? Okay, let me pay you $1,000 I damaged you. Go take the coin that doesn't work, that you can't work. You can't repay a chayv after you amount it to somebody with a coin that doesn't work. You hear the difference? You hear the difference? Go again. Let's go through this again. What's the damage that I did to you? Why $1,000? Because you forgave a loan because of me. Why? A person owed you money? You wrote paid? So you gave away $1,000 because I told you to give away $1,000? So where did I damage you? I damaged you that you gave up $1,000. Now because I made you give up $1,000, I owe you $1,000. Now you have in your hand a coin, that the coin is no good. You gotta go to the bank to make the coin good. So I say to you, hey, I owe you $1,000 because I told you to give up $1,000. So you know what? Take that coin, and that's how I'm going to pay up my obligation for the $1,000. So I can't do that, because if I owe you money, I have to pay you with a regular coin.
But that coin is no good.
That coin is no good. But somebody has to go to the bank. But there's two things that Tzai says. In the case of Shas Matzeya, what's the damage? The damage is that I created a tircha, you have to go replace your coin. That I don't have to pay. But when my damage is a real damage because you gave up a bona fide loan because of me, and now I owe you $1,000, and now what am I telling you? Take a coin that's no good to pay off the $1,000 that I damaged you. That already doesn't work. You hear the difference? That's the difference of the two cases. So which is going to lead us into a fascinating discussion, by the way. I want to ask all your questions. I go, and I buy an etrog for Sukkot. I spend $1,000 on it. I walk into shul, I show it to you. And you say, well, you're off the wall, you spend so much money on etrog. Come on, what are you thinking? You get so angry, you take my etrog, you swing it across the room, it becomes chaser. Right? Okay, so I say, listen, you owe me an etrog. No problem, I'll pay you the etrog. Before Sukkot? Yeah, absolutely. So you go to the store, you spend $30, you buy a kosher etrog, and what do? You return it to me. Is that a tashlum enough? What do you say? I pay you back a $30 etrog with $1,000 etrog?
Yes.
Huh?
You could do the
mitzvah
with it.
Do the mitzvah kosher. Is it a tashlum?
Yes. The work is in his mind.
I damage the etrog and I return
it. Damage is in his mind.
Next week we'll figure it out here. This thought brings us to this, to think about it. I mean, if you think about it, it's amazing. The truth is, what I want to talk about by the next year is that Hashem, what value is there on Hidurim? There's so many mitzvot that have Hidurim. You buy a Sefer Torah, and you pay $50,000 in order to have great Hidurim. And it gives you the same Sefer Torah without the Hidurim. So where do you stand? Can you back out? Can you take off money for not having the Hidurim? Can you say, no, if it doesn't have the Hidurim, I want nothing. I'm out totally? Where does these extra Hidurim leave you? Do they have a value when it comes to damages or not? That's what I want to discuss. And that's because it's an important subject. But the malpractice subject on bad advice, you have a very good idea really what the story is. Okay.